Hello, welcome to Off Topic Talk, show number 6, June 13th, 2006. We are here to talk about interests, hobbies, pastimes, and passions, all the things that we find interesting in life. Please visit the website at offtopictalk.blogspot.com. Today we're going to talk about fitness, dieting, generally getting in good shape. I have a new story about the latest in jump rope technology. In the media discussion, we're going to take a look at a weird, twisted, and entertaining website, because children are scary. We'll play a piece of music by Transvision from the Magnatune record label, and we'll close out the discussion with our usual unusual story. Good evening, everyone. I've been contemplating ways to improve the sound quality of the show. One of the things I've been considering is what I do in post-production. I'm one of those people who throws a lot of ums, uhs, ers, etc., etc. ad nauseum while I'm talking, and I've been taking the time to cut a lot of them out during post-show editing. I've decided to make a change in that process. I'm going to start training myself to cutting down on saying them in the first place, both to improve how I speak here in the podcast and to save myself time in post-show editing. And now, let's begin today's show. I'd like to talk a little bit about diet, exercise, and fitness. I'm going to start with a disclaimer. I'm not a dietitian, I'm not a doctor, not a personal trainer, I'm not any other fitness-related profession. This topic is based only on my personal experience in exercise and weight loss. Before you begin any diet or exercise program, go see your doctor and talk to them about it first. So I'm going to ramble a little bit and talk about general fitness, mostly around what you can do to improve both your diet and your level of exercise and fitness, and why you might want to do that. It's very easy to maintain whatever lifestyle you're currently in, whether you're a professional couch potato or an aspiring marathon runner. It's easier to maintain what you're already doing than go through the process of changing it. For the most part, this will address those people who want to make some change to their diet and/or their level of fitness. I don't think anyone will deny that eating better and being in better shape are beneficial. Many of us could probably lose a few pounds and be happier for it. This is especially true among children these days. I had occasion recently to do some research on child obesity, and the numbers were rather frightening. Kids are not getting the best food or much exercise at school these days. Outside of school, it seems to be pretty much the same. Diet and exercise can be a great family activity, and getting the entire family together on a better diet and with more exercise is a great way to keep everybody motivated. What's the hardest part about weight loss or getting into an exercise program? Inertia. Getting up off the couch or picking out that fresh apple instead of the donut. The actual process of losing weight is pretty simple. You burn 3,500 more calories than what you eat and you lose 1 pound. The math is pretty straightforward. It's the mental and physical process that's hard. It takes a conscious decision to make these changes. You do need to change the way you think about what you eat. You need to change what you do in terms of your activity. If you want to improve how you eat, if you want to improve your general level of fitness and health, you need to decide to do it. Pick a program and stick with it. Some ways to get exercise. There's really nothing new here. Take the stairs instead of the elevator. Park at the far end of the parking lot instead of the closest spot to the store. When it's feasible, ride a bike instead of driving your car. Have a workout partner. Accountability is a very strong motivator, and it can often make the difference between a set of push-ups instead of a slice of pizza. And working out with someone is more fun. Exercise can be a social activity. It would be best if you set aside 3 to 5 specific times each week as your exercise times. Consistency makes it easier to fit this new activity into your lifestyle. You don't really need a lot of time, 20 to 30 minutes, 3 to 5 days a week will make a huge improvement in your health, fitness, and possibly even in your self-confidence. Consider signing up at a gym. Maybe you have spotted some exercise program on an infomercial or in a television commercial, and you want to try that out. Go ahead. Doesn't really matter what the exercise program is as long as you follow it consistently. When you're buying into an exercise program, a diet program, make sure that you do some fact-checking first. One of the most important things to keep in mind is there is no quick fix. There is no magic pill. Better diet and exercise takes work on your part. There's no fast, easy way to get the results, no matter what someone tells you. Ease into your program. Don't jump right in full force. Too much exertion right off the bat, especially if you're not used to it, will leave you sore, disappointed, and not likely to want to work out again. Same thing with a diet. Don't start cutting out foods and squaring off desserts immediately. All things in moderation is the key. To get started, try reducing the portion sizes of the food that you eat. Replace your chips and your candy with fruit or baked versions of the chips that you like. Take small steps at first and build up, and eventually you will have changed your lifestyle. I'm going to take a moment to mention one brand name diet plan here, and that's Weight Watchers. I am a member of the Weight Watchers program, but I'm not affiliated with them in any business sense. I'm going to mention them simply because my wife and I joined, and we got really good results from them. Over the span of about 9 months, we both lost over 35 pounds, and we've been pretty consistent in keeping the weight down. Minor fluctuations here and there, but as long as we're staying on the program, it works just great. There are other plans out there that have worked for other people. Everyone is different, so everyone has different experiences and preferences. Weight Watchers has worked for us. It has a long history and a proven track record of success. It's worth considering, but it's not the only dieting plan out there. Since I don't have experience with other diet programs, I cannot speak to their effectiveness. Investigate any program thoroughly, and again, check with your doctor first. What if you're already fit and active? You're already eating right and feeling pretty good. I say to you that variety is the spice of fitness. If your program is keeping you happy, then by all means carry on. Some people find after a while that they're getting bored with their exercise program or they've reached a plateau. This is the time to mix things up a little bit. Getting bored with any of these programs is a surefire way to give up following them. Take a week off from your regular exercise program and spend it doing something different. Go biking, hiking, climbing, swimming. Sign up for a community or rec ed program in karate or tai chi or yoga. Do something different to keep your interest going. This holds true whether you've been an exercise fiend for 20 years or if you just started a few months ago. Variety is important. I'd also recommend everyone go take a look at the Birthday Challenge website the next time you're looking for something a little different to do, something to give yourself a challenge, a goal to motivate yourself towards. The link will be in the show notes. In the news today, we have the latest fitness device, a jump rope without a rope. USA Today has an article about one Lester Clancy who has invented a jump rope that has no rope. The two handles each have a set of weights in them that move while you swing the handles around, generating the feeling that there is a rope there. So what's the point? Well, actually, if you stop and think about it, this is pretty clever. If you do not feel that you are coordinated enough to jump rope, well, you can still get involved in the activity. Jumping rope is considered to be a pretty useful physical activity. You can take these anywhere. You don't have to worry about catching the rope on anything. You don't have to worry about tripping yourself. And you still get most of the benefits of the body movement, jumping, the arm motion. The only thing that's really lacking is the improvement in coordination of having an actual rope to jump. And if you're looking for a simple, light exercise, you could probably skip the jumping over the rope part. Another interesting concept the article mentions is these are perfect for places like prisons or mental health facilities where there's a risk of a rope being used as a weapon, or someone could use a rope to hurt themselves. It's a great way for children to get involved, especially younger children who may not have quite developed the coordination to do actual jump roping yet. So there's a whole host of benefits for this new gadget. Mr. Clancy has not yet put this into production. He has the idea patented, but he's still waiting for financial backing in order to start production of his new device. So keep your eyes open. We'll see when this hits the market and just how successful it really is. Do you like monkeys? Do you like bizarre, perhaps even twisted animation? Do you like scary little children? If not, then at least you will soon learn to fear them. The media suggestion today is for a website titled Children Are Scary over at scary.net. And that's scary with a K, SKARY.net. It's a little like Edward Gorey meets Hello Kitty. The creative mind of Katie Towle over at Scary has produced a number of animated films that are, to say the least, rather disturbing and very entertaining. There's El Despertar, a variation on the Pied Piper story, but with zombies and flamenco dancing. When Genevieve Rules the World is a story about a very, very precocious world ruler, and these are just a couple of the animations available. As of the production date on this podcast, her website is doing some construction. Not all areas were available. But there were some very neat and disturbing downloads for wallpaper and icons available the last time I visited it. These stories are delightfully twisted but very fun. So go and take a look, see what you think. It's once again, that's scary.net, where children are scary. We're going to segue fairly quickly into our music selection of the week. I have here Phantom by the group Transvision on the Magnatune label. We'll give that a quick listen now, and then come back and close up the show. Once again, that was Phantom by Transvision. He stalked the streets of Victorian England, leaping out of the darkness to assault his victims and then disappearing just as quickly. Many legends have grown up around Jack, but they've become so distorted with the stories, seen through the lens of time, we may never know the exact truth. And no, I'm not talking about Jack the Ripper. The legends of Spring-Heeled Jack began in early 19th century England. Most often considered a rather villainous character, given the violent nature of his appearances, he occasionally made appearances in penny dreadfuls of the day as a heroic figure, perhaps a precursor to the modern-day comic book superhero. Spring-Heeled Jack first showed up around 1837 and was in business into the 1870s. He would come hurtling out of the darkness and assault some poor innocent person and then leap away, often clearing 9-foot-high walls or jumping up onto rooftops before disappearing into the night. The descriptions that have come down to us seem to be fairly consistent. A tall, muscular man with devilishly pointed ears, glowing red eyes, and metal claws on his fingertips. Later in his career, there was the addition of him occasionally blowing blue or white flames from his mouth. Jack was never caught, despite reportedly being shot on more than one occasion. One of the interesting aspects to the Jack legend is that stories about him come from witness accounts of his victims and bystanders. There was a real person performing attacks of some sort back then. How these evolved into the stories we have now of Spring-Heeled Jack can probably be attributed to a combination of exaggeration, inaccurate retelling mixed in with the stories of the Penny Dreadfuls over time. Put all of that together, and we come up with this legendary figure. We'll probably never know exactly what happened, but there are a few interesting things worth mentioning. After one of his appearances, police found a pair of boot prints deeply planted in the mud, indicating that he had jumped from a considerable height. What was interesting was the tracks hinted at some sort of gadgetry in the shoes. The speculation at the time was some kind of powerful spring mechanism. Lacking the forensic knowledge of today, we don't know much more about this clue. Once the press got a hold of this information, though, they put their nickname on this strange assailant prowling the night streets, and therefore Spring-Heeled Jack was born. In 1838, the mayor of London received a message about a member of London's more well-to-do society having accepted a wager that involved dressing up like a devil and sneaking onto the grounds of houses to scare the residents. The note was anonymous, but it was revealed that apparently a number of citizens had been victims of this prank. Ghost, devil, monster, obnoxious young nobleman, space alien, mass hysteria. All of these are theories that have been offered up at various points to explain the mysterious Spring-Heeled Jack. I've really just scratched the surface here of the Jack legend, and I hope in doing so I've sparked your interest to do some research of your own. Like many legends and tall tales, regardless of the truth, it certainly makes for some really fun reading. And that about winds things up today, folks. Next episode, we're going to talk about Monkey Chow. We're also going to talk about a strange set of albums from the 1970s that discuss the end of the world. There will be some more strange news, and who knows what else will come up betwixt now and then. Please leave me some feedback at the blog site, offtopictalk.blogspot.com. You can drop me some email at offtopictalk.gmail.com, or leave me a voicemail at 206-888-5-OFF. That's 206-888-5633. Transition music this week is Ministry of Clodagh by AMD26, Chorus Part 1 by Autumn Vane, Intro Man by Andrew Bowerman, and 2012 by Beethoven, all available at the podshowmusic.com PodSafe Music Network. Off Topic Talk is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike License 2.5. Thank you for listening, and have a safe journey.